Hello and welcome to lesson number 7 in 1 Timothy. We call it God's Church Manual because the manual tells us how to do things. And we read back in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, that Paul said, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Now, as we get into 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." This word desire. 1 Timothy 3:1 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Now, that doesn't mean if you delight in the Lord and you desire a new Mercedes convertible that you're going to get one. No, if you delight thyself in the Lord, he will give you the desires. He will put the desires in your heart that will line up with his will. Before Paul was saved, he was called Saul. And in Acts chapter 9, he had a desire. He desired letters to Damascus that he could go there, round up these Christians, have them persecuted, put them in prison, even put them to death. Well, when he got saved, his desires changed. And in Romans 10, he said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And so none of God's appointed pastors just decide to go into the ministry, and I highlight the word appointed here. None of God's appointed pastors just think, "Well, I think I'll go into the ministry." The desire comes from God. Amos said back in Amos chapter 7, "I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel." Jeremiah, God said to him, "I sanctify thee, and I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations." So in our verse, we said, it says here, if a man desire the office of a bishop. Now, what's that all about? I've been pastoring churches for a lot of years, and nobody in our circles talks about anybody in our churches being a bishop. Why is that term here? In fact, why are there different terms? The Bible talks about elders, talks about bishops, and it talks about pastors. Here it uses the term bishop. Why? Well, the Bible has different terms for local church leadership. One is elder or elders. These terms appear 64 times in the New Testament. Another term is bishop or bishops, which appears 7 times. And the third term is pastors, which appears only 1 time in the New Testament. Now, since the term pastor is only used once concerning the local church age, why do we use the term pastor today? Well, looking at elders, we read the word elders in the scriptures. It first appears back in Genesis 50, where we read about Pharaoh and the elders of his house and all the elders of the land of Egypt. The Bible speaks about elders of Israel in 34 different verses. The term elder occurs in connection with countries such as Midian, Moab, Gilead, Jabesh, and other towns, cities, and just other places. In the New Testament, Matthew chapter 16, Jesus suffered many things at the hands of the elders. They challenged his authority. They planned his crucifixion. They sought false witnesses against him. They gave 30 pieces of silver to Judas to betray him. They persuaded the release of Barabbas, and they persuaded the crucifixion of Jesus. They mocked the Lord when he was on the cross. They paid money to the soldiers to lie about his resurrection. They persecuted the early Christians. They were involved in stoning Stephen. They sent Paul to Damascus to bring Christians back to Jerusalem to be persecuted. They put themselves under a curse to kill Paul after he got saved. And Peter said in 1 Peter, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder." Oh, that's very interesting. All right, why? He says here in Acts chapter 14, they ordained them elders in every church. Now, examining the term elders. In the book of Acts, many Jewish people in the city of Jerusalem were trusting Christ as their Savior. They were obviously Jewish people. Local churches were being organized. These churches were to be structured decently and in order. The Bible says elders were being ordained in every church. The residents of Jerusalem, as we said, were mainly Jewish, and they were all familiar with the term elder. As seen in the Old Testament scriptures, the elders were leaders of cities, households, countries, and Jewish synagogues. The Holy Spirit inspired the writer of the Bible to use the term elder in this situation because the Jewish population would understand the leadership responsibilities that the elder had in the local church. The term elder is simply synonymous with the term pastor that we use today. Now, if we get into the book of Philippians, the word bishop is in the New Testament one time, and the plural term bishops is found six times. We read of bishops and deacons together in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 1. We read of the office of a bishop in 1 Timothy, as well as the qualifications of a bishop in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1. Who are these bishops? Philippians 1 says in verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Now, bishop was a Greek term. The recipients of this letter were mainly Greeks. And the word bishop was a term used by them long before the New Testament was written. When the Greeks or Romans conquered a city or a state, the emperor would appoint a bishop to take charge of things in that area. The bishop was a leader with authority, but he also had responsibility to a superior power. He was a leader who was introducing new things. The Holy Spirit inspired the writer of Philippians to use the word bishop because the people in this environment would know immediately what his responsibilities were in the local church. He was a leader with authority, but he answered to a higher power. And he was also introducing new things as the pastor would be doing in local churches that were being established. By way of example, I want to talk about, for a moment, the Yanomami Indians in the jungle of Venezuela. On two different occasions, I had the privilege to minister to the Yanomami Indians in the jungle of Venezuela with our missionaries in a village that was called Cua. I took this picture of this hut. I lived in one that looked exactly like that twice on two different occasions for a week at a time. I found that the village leader was referred to as a chief. On the other hand, leader of a football team, he's called the captain. He's not called the chief. And so Paul simply used terms for the leaders of local churches that people would understand. Elders and bishops were used in the same place and sometimes in the New Testament. In the book of Titus, the Holy Spirit inspired the writer to use both words in the same paragraph. In 1 Timothy 1 verse number 5, we read about ordaining elders in every city, and two verses later he said a bishop must be blameless, referring both cases here to the pastor. Obviously, the terms are interchangeable and are referring to the same local church office. Paul at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, Paul called the elders of the church. In verse 28, he referred to them as tending a flock. He also referred to the elders as overseers, and we need to keep that in mind when we look at the term pastor. He gave some pastors, the Bible says, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the Holy Spirit inspired the writer here to use the term pastors. Verse 12 says pastors were given for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. God designated pastors for this responsibility. The place God assigned for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry is the local church, as it is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, the pastor has two responsibilities. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. The teacher, he's going to get in and teach the word of God. He's going to have a dialogue. What do you think about this? And okay, let's talk about that. We can talk about these verses together. On the other hand, we have preaching. Preaching, the word means to herald. And back then, a herald would come in on his horse, and he would say, hear ye, thus saith the king. He wasn't there to dialogue. He's saying, this is what the king says, and you better do it or you're going to be in trouble. One is teaching, and one is preaching. There's a difference, and both of them are the responsibility of a pastor in a local church. It is interesting, as the apostasy creeps in and is coming in like a flood these days, it says, after their own lusts or desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They're not going to go for preachers. Oh, no, don't tell me somebody's saying I have to do something here. Ye thus saith the king. Don't tell me what to do. They will heap to themselves teachers. Let's dialogue. Yeah, they like that a lot. Now, dialoguing and teaching, interestingly enough, when it comes to preaching sound doctrine, it comes ahead of even preaching here. Teaching and preaching the word of God. But when we get to this age of apostasy, they'll say, no, we don't want that preaching. Just give us teachers who will tickle our ears. Now, the shepherd, although the term pastors is only seen one time in the King James Bible, in the New Testament, the Greek word is there 18 times. The Hebrew word pastor occurs in the Old Testament another 8 times. The Old Testament, the word is raha, and it means to shepherd. The New Testament word also means to shepherd. Now, everybody in Israel understood what a shepherd was and what his responsibilities were. In the New Testament, the word for shepherd refers to Jesus 9 different times. It refers to a literal shepherd 8 times, and once it refers to the leaders that God gave as a gift to the local churches. People in Israel knew immediately what the local church leaders' responsibilities were when they heard the word shepherd. The term pastors in Ephesians 4:11 is obviously used as a type of someone God has chosen to shepherd the sheep. So in 1 Peter, we read it this way, the elders, referring to the pastors, which are among you, I exhort, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but for a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. The good shepherd, well, it's all about the sheep. We are to be feeding the lambs, feeding the Lord's sheep, watering the Lord's sheep, leading the Lord's sheep, protecting the Lord's sheep, comforting the Lord's sheep, and at times disciplining the Lord's sheep. It's all about the sheep. And so, coming to terms with the different terms, in conclusion, the term elder, bishop, and pastors are used of the same local church New Testament office. The Holy Spirit inspired men to use different terms that would be understood by people in different areas. Pastors are referred to as ruling and teaching. The Greek term bishop indicates the pastor is a man of authority who is responsible to a higher authority. Bishops are referred to as caring for the church, teaching the scriptures, and protecting the flock in the local church. The qualifications for bishops stresses a strong leadership. The term bishop and elder are used in the same men in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in 2 Timothy chapter 5. The fact that Jesus is referred to as the chief shepherd indicates the pastor is the under-shepherd in the local church when taken in the context of chapter 5 in 1 Peter. The pastor's ministry involves teaching believers, preaching the word, taking the oversight, shepherding the flock, ruling and leading well, and being an example as described in 1 Peter chapter 5. And so we'll leave it there for today. Be sure and be with us for lesson number 8 when once again we look at how we ought to behave ourselves in the church of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth.